If you already have not done so, if you already have not done so, you may do so at this time. As our teacher, our orator, is coming forward, he's going to exegete the word of God to us so articulately. Praise his name, Uncle.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's a privilege this morning to stand before God's people. I am excited to be a part of what God is doing in our midst and all around the world. This morning we're going to talk about the battle that we face, two battlefronts that we'll always face when dealing with spiritual things. Can we just stand for a minute and just pray for just half a second? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again, God. We thank you for bringing us here to hear the word of the Lord, God. I pray that you'll touch our minds and our hearts. Help us to receive your words with gladness. Let every seed that is sown this morning, let them fall upon good grounds and bring forth much fruit. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It's yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of our lesson this morning is Two Battlefronts. Two Battlefronts. There are two battlefronts that for every Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." There are two battlefronts for every Christian: self-inflicted or self-perpetuated problems. These problems are brought on by our own negligence or indifference. Example, not paying our bills, not taking care of our health, not doing proper maintenance to our homes or our cars. Those are self-inflicted. Satan-inflicted or Satan-perpetuated problem and battles. Satan will use anything or anyone he can to do spiritual battle with us. He will use people such as our family, our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, or even strangers. He will use things such as job, cars, mechanical devices, the weather like we're having today, music, books, TV, etc. Though Satan uses people and things, our enemy is not the people or the things being used. The enemy is the devil. We have to recognize that. And when we go into warfare, we're not fighting each other. We're fighting a real enemy, the enemy of our soul. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 11, he said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Pastor mentioned it a few weeks ago. He said it would not be wise if we go into the enemy's camp without having the old armor to cover and protect us. That would be unwise. The wiles, meaning the method, the various means, plans, and scheme used by the devil. When we wrestle, it means to strike, to thrust, throw with violence and intensity. It refers to the warfare in general between saints and evil spirit out to destroy us. So we see our battle is not with flesh and blood, person or things, but a spiritual battle with the enemy of our soul. We must recognize who we're fighting against. Ephesians 6 and 12 say, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul uses four descriptive words to make us understand exactly what and who we're fighting with. As you can see, there are four levels of spiritual warfare. Principalities, meaning the chief rulers or beings of the highest rank and order of Satan's kingdom. Even though Satan is evil, he's well organized. Power, meaning those who derive their power from and who exhume the will of the chief ruler, principalities. They're working for him. He's the big boss man. Rulers of darkness, meaning the spirit world rulers. Spiritual wickedness, meaning the wicked spirits sent by Satan. Let's look at some of Satan's limitations. Satan has many limitations. He's not as powerful as many proclaim him to be. He does not have the ability to do all that he's often given credit for. He's not who many think that he is. He is not equal with God, not even close. God created him. Remember, he was cast out of heaven for declaring himself equal with God. It was the original sin in heaven. Satan dared to exalt himself to be like God when he's clearly not. It is wrong today for Christians to speak of him as being equal with God. He's a fallen angel. He's subject to all the limitations of an angel. He is the counterpart of an angel, not God. He is not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He has limitation. He can only do what God allows him to do. Only God has all power. Satan's power is limited by what God allows him to do in the earth. He can do no more and no less. The God that lives in us is far greater than the one who opposes us. That's why the scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But we must recognize who we are and what God has done for us. The Spirit of God lives in us. And if we learn how to engage the enemy, we can always defeat him. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. Though he does not have all-knowing powers of God, he does have more knowledge than mere human. He has been studying humanity about 6,000 years. He's more aware of the end of time than we are. He knows that his time is short. He's not omnipresent, all places at once. God fills the universe, but Satan is a falling angel. He's limited to one place at a time. He can go from place to place as swiftly as an angel, but he cannot be in two places at the same time. That is why he's got his little cronies to work for him, and they report back to Mr. Satan. We do not have to be terrified of the adversary because our God is with us and he's fighting for us. We've got power from on high, and we've got to understand that we don't have to go in a corner and be afraid of the devil. You remember, he had to ask permission to touch Job. He had desire to sift Peter as wheat. He liked to steal, kill, and destroy. But you remember Legion? He had many devils in him, but they could not stop or prevent him from going to Jesus. Satan doesn't have all the power that we give him credit for. We've got to know these things and know how to engage him. Satan is a liar and the father of all liars. All lies come from him. His biggest lie is that he has power over you, your life, your family, your job, etc. As a child of God, that is not true, not for a moment. As we understand his lies, we become more powerful in our fight against evil. That's why it's very important to pray. When we pray, we receive revelation from Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. But if we don't know the word of God, then we can be distracted, detoured by the enemy. Because we're thinking he's so great and powerful when we have power and dominion over him. But if we don't know, then we'll be deceived. He cannot get an advantage over us if we know his tricks. How do we learn his tricks? Read in the scripture where he tried to trip up other men and women of God. He still uses the same tactics today. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What weapons of warfare are at the disposal of a child of God? Number one, his name. At the sound of the name of Jesus, the devil trembles. The Bible says he knows that there's one God, and it makes him shake. He doesn't like the name of Jesus. He's afraid of it because he has been around Jesus, and he knows the power that lies within him. God created this little devil that gives us problems all the time. And somewhere in the Old Testament, it says one day we're going to look at him narrowly like, is that him? Is that who caused all this problem? So we've got to understand these things now where we'll be able to fight against evil. If we don't know, then we'll believe Satan is so powerful. I've heard people say, no, don't say that loud. The devil will hear you. I want him to hear me. I want him to hear me because power that is in me is greater than him. But we have got to understand these things. I'm not terrified of the adversary. At the sound of the name of Jesus, the devil trembled. We have power of attorney. We have been given the right to use his name because we are his children and have been baptized in his name. We have been given the authority to bind and to loose. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So if we're able to cast out devils, why should we or why would we be afraid of the devil? If that's the case, we won't be able to cast them out because we won't even attempt to cast them out because we're terrified. We've got to understand what God has given unto us. Sometimes I wonder if we do understand or realize what the Lord has done for us. We are like the greatest people on this planet. God lives in us. And he's watching over us to protect us, to lead us, guide us, and provide for us. None can withstand this great God that we've been called to serve. These signs are going to follow them that believe. We're not following signs. Signs are following us. In Luke chapter 10 and 17, said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So we have his name to use when we are battling against this devil. Number two, we have his power in us. In Acts chapter 1 and 8, it said, but we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come up on you. If you're here today, this morning, and you don't know or you're not sure if you have received the Holy Ghost, then you can have it today. The initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost is speaking with another tongue, another language. It was originated way, way back then, and it'll never change. That's God's sign that someone is being filled with his spirit. So when we receive the Holy Ghost, we have power over the enemy. The word power comes from the Greek dunamis. From the Greek word, we get the English word dynamite. It will blow up stuff. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we have that power inside of us. You know what I thought about recently? God, everything that he does, it's deliberate. It's precise. No one has to remind him, like, God, Brother Powell, I've been praying, you forgot? Here's his folder right here. Nothing slipped by him. God knows everything. He sees everything. He understands everything. So we've got to learn to trust this great God. He's greater than the greatest, and he's higher than the highest. He knows everything. He gave them power. When we begin to follow Jesus, then we are disciples. We're no different from the 12. We've got the same power to cast out devils, to heal all manner of sickness and disease. He said, the sign's going to follow us. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but whenever I pray for someone, I expect them to recover because it's a promise from God. But I know that it doesn't always happen because I pray for my brother and he died anyway. I thank God anyhow. Number 3, prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17 and 21 said, howbeit, this kind go not out but by prayer and fasting. They have a little saying which you all have heard before, where there's much prayer, there's much power. Where there's little prayer, there's little power. Where there's no prayer, there's no power. The devil can't handle a child of God who prays and fasts. We confuse him. He doesn't know what to do. Because even when we're in difficult times, we're still calling on the name of Jesus. We're still seeking after the God we know that is more than able to help us. So we confuse him when we do these things. The devil can't handle a child of God who prays and fasts. Number 4, we have the angels of the Lord. In Jude chapter 1 and 9, say, yet Michael, the archangel, when contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, thrust not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So we have the angels on our side that is fighting for us. So we've got the name of Jesus. We've got the power of Jesus in us. We're fasting and we're praying. And then we have the angel of the Lord that is battling for us. Hebrews 12 and 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I don't know for sure if we understand this, but God has called us to follow him. He has adopted us in his family through the blood of Jesus. He promised that he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. He doesn't have need of anything because he's God. So everything that he does is for us. When Jesus laid his life down, it wasn't for a reward like, if you do that, you'll get this. It was for us. He loves us more than we love our own self. So I'm saying that to say this. Every promise of God, all his promises are true. Not one will ever fail us. He's not a man that he can lie. If he said that he will provide, that's what he'll do. We don't have to panic and get into a frenzy when things are bad. Things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. I don't know why. But if we learn to trust this great God and stand on the word of God, he will never fail us. Because he said he knows those that trust him. He knows. We can say whatever we want to say, but God knows. He sees the inside, and he searches the hearts. With the mouth, we can say anything. That's why Jesus is very, very wise. He's a wise God. Okay, every person probably says, oh, yeah, I love Jesus. But Jesus said, okay, you love me? Keep my commandment. It's so called, we can say whatever you like, but it's a condition. If you love me, keep my commandment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1, 2, and 3, it said, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season." Let me read it one more time, because I believe you missed it. "And I saw an angel," if I may paraphrase, "and I saw one angel came down, and he grabbed this little Satan, this little devil, and he wrapped him up in chains, and he cast him into the prison. And there's nothing that he can do or could have done or will be able to do. One angel." Before that, we read about a number that we cannot even number, innumerable company of angels. So even though Satan he tricked one-third of the heavenly hosts to follow him, the rest of the angels are with us. They're ministering spirits. And whenever the Lord commands them, they have to go and they have to do. They're submissive. They don't resist. And when God releases angels to war, that's what they'll do. That's why I love to read the Old Testament. I can see the character of God and his power. And whenever he declares war against a nation, that's what it is. And no one can withstand his mighty hand. That's the side I want to be on, the side of this great God. One angel bound the devil with a great chain, lay hold upon the dragon, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. We've got angels on our side. Number 5, we've got the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12 in verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." We've got our testimony. Same verse, I think it is. "And they overcame him by the word of their testimony." When we understand who we are and who we're serving, then we'll know that we cannot be defeated. We might be shaken, but we will not be moved. We have to understand that our God is greater and we are his children. We are peculiar people, handpicked by God. When we obey the voice of God, we will see miracles, signs, and great wonders. God is a promise keeper. He's the only king. He's higher than everybody else. And whatever he declares, that's what is going to take place. So we have the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are a part of a powerful church. It's the church of the living God. Jesus has purchased his church with his own blood. Do you believe any devil is strong enough to overthrow the church of the living God? God is mighty. When you hear the gates of hell shall not prevail, it's not like the church going up to the gates of hell and try to push it back. Come on, let's push it down. No, the gates of hell will never come this way. We are stronger than the devil. We are stronger than the gates of hell. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. Our God is on our side. He's fighting for us. The battle has already been won. We just have to enforce what is legally ours. Amen? Know who we are. The Bible said, those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploit. Remember, the weapons are for warfare. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. We have, I've noticed sometimes, even when I'm trying to pray, imaginations will pop in my mind. Where did that come from? I'm not even thinking about that. But we've got to cast it down right away. Cast down imagination right away. We've got the power to do these things. And everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, we have the power to bring them into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. We've got the power God has given unto us. So, casting down imaginations, we defy and intend to destroy through prayer every theory, every reason, every religion, every sublime doctrine or philosophy set forth to divide or defy the knowledge of God. We cast them down. Every imagination, we bring them into captivity. We take every thought prisoner and lead into captivity that they must obey Christ. That's what one of the scriptures says. Whatsoever things are, how you start that? Just, true. Whatsoever things are pure, just, true, honest, lovely, and of good report, think on these things. So he didn't leave us there blank, like, well, what should I think about? If it's pure, just, lovely, honest, good report, that's what we're thinking about. That's what we meditate on day and night. And God will help us because he promised he'll be a very present help in the times of need or the times of trouble. He's honest. We must have a readiness. We shall at all times ready to purge anything opposing the word of God. We must always stand ready to give an answer to anybody that asks us the hope that lies within us. That's why we have to know the word of God. We must. I'm going to brag on myself a little bit. I've read the Bible 4 times already, all the way through, and I'm going through it again. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 right now. Every child of God, this is my belief, I'm not trying to impose it on anyone, but I believe every child of God should at least read through the Bible once. The Old Testament will show us the character of God. You know what they said, I've heard before, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So when you read the Old Testament and then the New Testament, you understand, oh, that's what God was saying. That's why they call it a shadow and type. He shows us a little bit, but it hadn't been really revealed yet. So it's very important for us to read and know the God that we serve. Pastor Sapp taught a lesson about knowing God. If we don't know this God, we cannot please him. Because we don't know what he likes. What do you desire from us? So we're just kind of shooting in the dark. Well, maybe let me try to see if God likes that. We have got to know our God. Jesus laid his life down for us because he loved us. He said, because God so loved the world, he gave. It's an act of obedience. And when we obey God, we'll see miracles, signs, and wonder. The ones who were before us, they were mere humans like us. And sometimes I read the Bible and I just cry. I say, God, I don't understand. Why do you love us so much? I don't understand why you love us so much. We're bad people. And he loves us. He gives us different chances after chance after chance. He is a good God. And if we fail to spend hell, our rest of our lives in eternity, it's our fault. We cannot blame God for anything. He has provided everything that we need. And if we fall short, it's our fault. We cannot blame anyone. Someone told me, I was teaching a Bible study, and the lady was adamant too. She said, no, I just can't believe that. God is too good. He's not going to put us in the oven. I said, no. He's not going to do that. It's the choice that we make. We all have choices. We can walk out today and never come back. And you think Jesus is going to run us down? When the prodigal left home, his father never went chasing after him. When he came to his senses, That's when he came back. And his father met him halfway and said, son, I'm glad you're home. Welcome home. Let's rejoice. Rejoice with those that rejoice. So it's a shadow that God is in love with us. And he's going to be there for us whenever we decide to come home. If you're here today and you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, this is a good day. I think the rain is a sign. Water's coming down. Let's do it today. Let's prepare our hearts today. We're living in a world that is full of turmoil, darkness all over the land. We need Jesus. If you believe it, put your hands together and give God some glory. We've got about 11 minutes. We're going to pray and thank God for the word of the Lord, which he gave to all of us. I want y'all to understand, because the preacher, the teacher, whoever preaches or teaches, they're preaching to themselves also. It's not like we're just talking to the people. Whatever God gives, he'll give it to the preacher first, and he's got to digest it and figure out where he's falling short before he can deliver it to God's people. Amen? So let us just pray for a minute. You have 10 minutes to walk around. Find somebody that you don't know. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you appreciate them coming out in the rain to worship with us this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord God. Jesus, we love you and we appreciate you. All that you have done for us. You have laid your life down for us. Thank you for not giving us what we really deserve. You have extended your hands full of grace and full of mercy. Your mercy is relentless. Your grace is amazing. God, we cannot make it without you. We need you. Help us to receive your words with gladness. Remember our pastor this morning as he delivered the word of God. Let it be with conviction. Lord God, let it touch our hearts and prick us, that we'll turn to you, that you'll be able to bless us. Help us to be humble and to be obedient in all our ways. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Amen. Clap your hands and give God some praise. Hey, did that make any sense?